Darren, Kerry and Sky, weekday 6 to 9 a.m.
Joining us right now from the 961 news agency, entire Lebanon, is Hussein Yassin. Good morning, Hussein.
Good morning, Darren.
I want to get to the explosion and the devastation and the disaster that's happening right now in the port of Beirut in Lebanon. But I want to set the scene for my listeners. My listeners might not know a hell of a lot about Lebanon, and I think they need to know the backstory. So if you can tell me, what was life like in Lebanon? I know there was a lot of civil unrest. I know there was a lot of protesting in the build-up towards the end of 2019. Set that scene for me, please.
The story starts in 2019 when people started to sense that the Lebanese pound was losing its value against the dollar, the U.S. dollar. You know, dollar bills were started to go missing from the market, and prices were going up, and the people's anger toward the ruling class also started to get worse. You know, their anger, of course, doesn't start there, because they've been living with decades of corruption and mismanagement. The recent crisis only exacerbated this. Meanwhile, the government was searching for a way to counter the inflation. You know, it was at the time still in its early stages. So what they did is they imposed a tax on WhatsApp, which is a very important communication app for the Lebanese, because it's obviously free. They were just not going to have a tax on WhatsApp. And of course, this is not the sole reason that pushed the Lebanese to take to the streets and protest, but it was, you know, as they say, it was the spark that erupted the protests. And so on October 17, millions of Lebanese in Lebanon and abroad, the diaspora, were very active in the protests as well. They took to the streets and they called for the toppling of the entire, you know, not just the toppling of the government, but the reformation of the entire political system, which is based on sectarianism. By Christmas 2019, the protests forced the government to resign, and a new government was being formed, but you know, the new government claimed that it was technocratic, which is what the protesters had been demanding all the, you know, the months that preceded during the protests. But the people were not convinced that the new government was technocratic, and the protests continued. However, when the coronavirus hit Lebanon, unfortunately, and Lebanon went under lockdown, this forced people to stop going to protests. Although some stayed in their tents and sit-ins, but the majority of the people just left the streets. The coronavirus also affected the economy, naturally. Meanwhile, the Lebanese pound was still losing its value against the dollar, and things were generally just not looking very optimistic.
Keeping in mind that information coming out of Lebanon is coming from different sources, we have different agendas on different news networks around the world that are giving us the information. From a journalist on the ground, can you tell us firsthand about the devastation caused by this blast?
Today, the Lebanese pound has lost over 80% of its value. By the end of this year, unfortunately, many people are expected to die of hunger in Lebanon, because more people are falling below the poverty line. To add to to all these crises, all these problems that have been compounding over the months, this bomb came along and shredded the port of Beirut and its surroundings. The destruction is just, it's too much, honestly. It's been described as history's biggest non-nuclear explosion. It's very devastating, and, you know, the government, the governor of Beirut said that he has never in his life seen this much devastation throughout the wars that Lebanon has been in. And I agree with this. As far as casualties, over 135 people have been killed, around 5,000 have been injured, tens have been missing, and over 300,000 have been displaced, because many buildings around the port, which is, you know, the port now is basically near totally destroyed. The buildings around it have been mostly reduced to rubble, and people are now, many people have been forced to go elsewhere outside Beirut to find shelter. The destruction is just too much.
It's the saddest of stories, Beirut and Lebanon, an area that has just had so much drama for decades now. And then on top of that, the coronavirus tragedy, and now this explosion. It seems like there is no end. I really, really do wish the people of Lebanon, the people of Beirut, the best. My heart goes out to you. My thoughts are with you. And I have no words. I wish there was something I could say to make things better. But I suppose for you, what if there is a light at the end of the tunnel? What is the best case scenario for the people of Lebanon?
To be honest, seeing everything that the country has been through in the past months and now the explosion, it's fairly difficult to think of a best case scenario. You know, I mean, especially seeing the horrific casualties and the overall destruction. Lebanon is going through, obviously, a very dark period at this moment. But still, we hope that the injured recover quickly and those who are missing are found alive and well. And, you know, we hope for the best. The best would be better economic conditions in general. Hopefully the port of Beirut gets repaired quickly and we don't suffer additional food shortages. Hopefully also the political class listens to the people of Lebanon and do their part in stopping this misery. That's, you know, but one can only hope at this stage.
Hussein Yassin, Brave News correspondent from the 961, a news agency in Tyre, Lebanon, speaking to us this morning about that devastating explosion in that port in Beirut in Lebanon. Thank you for talking to us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Darren, Carrie and Sky, weekday 6 to 9 a.m.